respond.
Bless you. Thank you, Paul. It's Paul, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I never did a thing. Oh, dear. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. It's a pleasure and a joy to be here in Bathurst. Some of you have probably known me from the past. Some of you may not. Probably would know us. My wife and I pastored in the Miramichi for the 21 years, and a couple of years ago we retired. Semi-retired, we'd like to say, and moved to Moncton. So it's a privilege to be with you this morning. And we were here last Sunday when you honored Pastor Andrew and Pam, and it was a pleasure to see that. I guess as a pastor and a former pastor and a preacher, but also as a father and a father-in-law, and certainly recognize that somewhere along the line you have learned the lesson of blessing, and that is that when you bless others and you bless your pastors, that God blesses in return. So there is a principle that's involved there, and when we saw that, it made my heart glad, and I was pleased, and I felt a sense of joy not only for them but for you as well, because I know that God pours out his blessing over and abundantly. It's a pleasure to be here this morning, as I said, and it's a beautiful church. I've been here many times for different events, conferences, and prayer meetings, and all kinds of things. And different pastors have phoned me when I was in Miramichi about coming to preach, and never seemed to work out. We always had something else going on or was never quite right. And so I think this is one of the first times that I've been here that I can remember anyway. And that's possible that but don't remember right. But it is a pleasure to be here this morning. Praise God. Good to see Pastor Bob and Della. We want to acknowledge that this morning. And God bless you. Old friends, and we certainly appreciate them and say God bless them. Pray that God will bless Pastor Andrew and Pam while they're away, and they'll come home refreshed and hit the ground running. When Pam graduated and went off to Bible school, our house changed. You know, she took all my energy with her. You know what I mean, you know, but... it's a different day. We want to look for a few moments this morning at the principles of trust and faith, and the reading from Proverbs chapter 3, just a couple of verses, and they're putting it up behind me, and I've asked the guys just to leave it there. I don't have a lot of PowerPoint with me this morning, so it's just that verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That's taken from the New Living Translation, and we pray that God will impress that upon our hearts today. Many people try to win our confidence, and they ask us to trust them. They appeal to us. The airlines who want to fly you 5 miles up in the air on a trip from Toronto to London, England, they say, trust us, we won't drop you in the ocean. Or the Department of Highways, we think of the Confederation Bridge from New Brunswick across to Prince Edward Island, 9 miles straddling the Northumberland Strait. Some of you probably still have not made that trip, you know. But it shakes a little bit in the wind, it sways with the weight of traffic. But the engineers say, trust us. And you know something, it hasn't fallen yet, so I guess we can trust them. The school teacher, the doctor, the banker, the butcher, the preacher, the mechanic all say, trust me. They all say, trust me. And sadly, we learn that none of these titles mean that we can place total trust in any of them as individuals. We have learned that trust is something that to be earned. We do live in a burned-out, burned-over society that is justifiably cynical about trust. Trust is something that can be given, but it should never be demanded. It's the way we live, and it's the relationships that we live with. Yet through the ashes of sometimes devastated lives, We hear the voice of Jesus who says, trust me. We hear the voice of Jesus who says, trust me. Through the darkness of sin that shrouds and condemns a person with guilt and the weight and the burden that many people carry, shines a light of Jesus Christ who says, follow me. Trust me. Trust me. That's what Jesus invites us to do. He invited his disciples to come and to follow him. In Luke 9, we read, he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower or disciple, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Some of the first recorded words Jesus said to his disciples were, follow me. They trusted him, and they followed him. Now, King Solomon challenged us with these words we've read this morning and in Proverbs, and our emotional souls when he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Now the words of trust and faith are connected words in the Bible. There's three principles that we can look at very quickly this morning. Trust for God in spite of the circumstances we live in. There's a universality there. That we trust in God in spite of the circumstances we live in. Secondly is trust in God in spite of the personal emotional feelings. But I don't feel right. I don't feel like doing. In spite of our personal emotional feelings, we trust in God. We trust in God. And we trust God regardless of the consequences. We trust him regardless of what the future is going to hold. And so that's the dimension, some of the dimensions of the principles of trust that we're challenged to today. Jesus is not just a voice among dozens of other voices. Jesus is a fresh, unique voice for one particular reason, and that is because he has never failed. Jesus has never failed. Hallelujah. 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 So there's a uniqueness when he says, trust me, when he says, follow me, he is worthy of our trust and worthy to be followed. We read this, we understand this, and we rejoice in it. We give trust to people whom we believe will not fail us. We go to the mechanic that we trust. We listen to the preacher that we trust. We go to the doctor we have confidence in, etc., etc. Jesus is worthy of my trust. He is worthy, and he has proven himself and shown himself. Now, King Solomon wrote Proverbs, and King David, his father, wrote the Psalms, or most of the Psalms, and we read in Psalm 62 a lot about trust. King David defined his trust in God. He highlights what he was talking about when he said in verse 8, trust in the Lord at all times. That's kind of the summarization of it. Trust in the Lord at all times. That's a message that applies to us today here in Bathurst, here in New Brunswick. Trust in the Lord at all times, because he never fails. We see, first of all, some wonderful insights that David gives us in verse 1. He said, trust in God because he's the giver of rest. He gives rest. In verse 1, my soul finds rest in God alone. Hallelujah. My soul finds rest in God alone. We see, secondly, he says, I trust in God because he's the savior of my soul. He says, my salvation comes from him. I don't work to produce self-righteousness. My righteousness, my salvation comes from God. He is the source. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I trust him. I rest in him. And he is my salvation. We see, I trust in God, thirdly, because he's the foundation of my life. In verse 2, he says, he alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad in all the storms of life that when the things that come against you, the circumstances that face you and the things that challenge your heart, that underneath there is a solid foundation, that Jesus is a solid rock, hallelujah, and the word of the Lord endures forever. Aren't you glad there's a place where you can come, a place where you can go, a place where you can find that safety and that strength that comes from God alone? Trust in the Lord, because he's the foundation of my life. And the psalmist, we find in verse 5, he said he trusted in God because he gives hope. He said, my hope comes from him. My hope comes. It sounds like it's a gift that God gives us. Hallelujah. Well, I just can't hope. Well, just reach out and take it. Amen. Reach out and take it. Say, well, I've things have happened in my life and destroyed my ability to hope. Yes, I don't doubt that. But you know something? My hope comes from him. So reach out and receive it from him this morning. See, I feel hopeless. Reach out and receive the gift of hope from the Lord. Hallelujah. Let him put that in there. It doesn't originate inside of you. Even though we may think that way, it originates from him. And so let him give that to you as a gift, impute it to you or pass it on to you and receive it from the Lord. He says, my trust is because he gives hope. And we see he is the source of my honor in verse 7. He says, my salvation and my honor depend on him. Honor and character are built one decision at a time. And so every decision that you make, it all counts. It's one decision at a time. We can when the cashier gives you too much change, there's a sense of honor that kicks in. Some people put it in their pocket and say, oh, wow, that's great. I can go off to McDonald's or Burger King and get another treat, But honor says, give it back. Give it back, Doesn't become embarrassing until you realize the cashier does the recount and you realize you are the one that made the mistake. That can happen too, but anyway. To all people everywhere, in verse 8 he says, trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Trust in him at all times. At all times. Pour out your heart to him. You can pour out your heart. You can let it all hang out. Go into that prayer closet, that place where you're alone with God. Let it all hang out and pour it out before the Lord. And as you pour it out before God, he says, for God is our refuge. That's the place of safety. Hallelujah. You're safe in the presence of God. I appreciated the worship team this morning so much as Edna led them and took us and described so much about the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So we worship the Lord in his presence. And we give him glory. And we give him honor. And with the psalmist, we say we have learned that he is our refuge. He is our salvation. He gives us hope. And we can trust him. We can trust him. We go back hundreds and hundreds of years and we read those Psalm 62 and we discover again that we can trust the Lord because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, we are able to tell God our hopes, our fears, our failures, our successes, and we're able to seek his face and we are able to trust him beyond everything else. Praise God. We see we wait on the Lord. Peter commended the Christians for trusting the Lord, whom they had never seen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, jumping into the New Testament in verse 8, he says, you love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. I really enjoyed the New Living Translation the last 10 years or so. You love him, even though you have never seen him. I've never seen Jesus. But I love him. He loves me. Hallelujah. Jesus loves me. This I know. Praise God, for the Bible tells me so. Hallelujah. You love him, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Hallelujah. There's something about trust and joy that are connected there. The joy of the Lord. You trust him. And look at verse 9. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Wow. 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 The result. What's the end result? The salvation of your souls. Praise the Lord. For trust. Trust. Praise God. Peter is telling us there is a connection between love and trust. You love him even though you've never seen him, and you trust him. We trust Jesus and we love him. Praise the Lord. We love him and we trust him. I don't know which comes first, but I know this much, that God reached into our hearts, into my heart, into my life, and he says, trust me. He says, love me. He says, put your faith in me and rely on me, and I will not fail. Praise God. And he never has. He never has. Praise the Lord. And so we find that sometimes we trust people. We trust people and they don't deserve it. People whom we love especially are easy to trust, even though we know in the back of our mind they're really not trustworthy, but we're kind of hoping they'll kind of buckle up, you know what I mean? And kind of, you know, kind of rise to the challenge. And sometimes we're disappointed again. Sometimes we are encouraged, but we pray for them and we love them because it's connected to love. But trust, and if we do that, there seems to be levels of trust. And other times we don't trust people when we should, because we kind of, they remind us of somebody else. I don't know how it works, you know, but all I know is this, that we have to kind of arrive at those decisions and recognize the hand of God and trust the Lord. We may even trust with personal options to stop trusting, because sometimes trust is mixed with hope. We trust and we hope, and we hope that the trust is justified. It's possible to trust without love, or to trust where failure to trust means personal defeat. There's a lot of combinations, a lot of different things that are involved in those dynamics. But in the Christian walk, as I thought about this, there's different levels of being led by the Spirit. There's different ways in which we can be led by the Spirit of God, in which would challenge us. And the Lord has never asked me to walk on water. I hope he never does, because I don't know what I would do. You know what I mean? But I mean, we look at Peter and say, oh, I'd be just like Peter. But I suspect we'd be like the other bunch in the boat. You know what I mean? That they just kind of stuck with the boat and hung on to the gunwales, you know. And so it was, all I know was this, that Jesus looked at Peter and said, oh, you little faith, could you not trust me, you know? And there's something in my heart that says, oh, God, help me to trust you more. Help me to trust you more, because you alone are worthy of trust, and you're not going to lead me astray. You're not going to take me down no garden path and desert me. You're going to lead me by paths of righteousness for your name's sake, beside still waters. Hallelujah. And you're going to restore my soul, because that's what you've done in the past. And in your presence, there is a place, praise God, of fulfillment, and a place of rest, and a place of joy, and a place of security, and a place of salvation, in which my heart is refreshed, and my spirit is uplifted, and my mouth is filled with praise, and my heart is filled with a sense of anticipation and hope. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we recognize that it goes beyond the grave. And as time passes and years slip by very quickly, and we bid farewell to those whom we love, and we know that they have passed through death's door, that someday, God willing, we will see them again, and we will enjoy that place of fellowship, and we have a hope. And yet sometimes it's an emotional hope more than it is a factual hope, because the hope has to be grounded in Jesus Christ in order to be factual. It has to be set upon that solid foundation that is in our Lord, our God. Hallelujah. And his plan of salvation, and his gospel, and his mighty word. Praise the Lord. So there's levels of trust. There's levels of being led by the Spirit of God. Some people seem to be more open than others. There's levels of blessing. God asks us to trust him so he can teach us, he can lead us, he can bless us, he can fill us with himself so we can learn to trust him, praise the Lord, and learn to listen to him. Habakkuk is one of those cases in the Old Testament of a prophet. He calls us to live by faith when everything is going wrong. When everything is going wrong, the just shall live by faith. Just keep on trusting. You know, if there's no herd in the stalls and no olives in the olive, whatever they kept their olives and things like that, he said, still I will joy in the God of my salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Job stated in the midst of his loss and his sorrow, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He didn't say, yet will I love him, or any of those other words that he could have used. You know, he said, yet will I trust him. I will trust him. When things are dark, when things are, you know, barren, and there's nowhere else to turn, and we don't see any doors to walk through, I will trust him. I will trust him. And that's what Job said. Hebrews chapter 11 is a list of men and women who live by faith. And Abraham, the ancestor of King David, chose to obey God by faith, and he became the father of many nations, it tells us. He left his home and traveled looking for an earthly city by faith. He looked for a city with a heavenly dimensions, a heavenly Jerusalem whose builder and maker is God. You know, we know that there was a partial fulfillment in earthly Jerusalem, the city of David, the city of God, it was called. And someday there will be a heavenly Jerusalem that will descend from heaven. But we see that Abraham, by faith, and Hebrews 11 is a description of people who trusted God, and it was accounted unto them for righteousness, and they trusted God, and they had a hope and a faith that would not be diminished or that would not be refused. Trust obeys when we don't know where God is taking us. Abraham, he didn't know where he was going, but trust obeys. Trust says, I will do, God, what you want me to do when I don't know where you're taking me. And he moved to Canaan of Galilee, in Canaan. We see that trust obeys when we don't know how God will take us. Trust, you know, don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I remember Amos Dodge, he preached, some mountains are for casting out of the way, other mountains are for climbing, you know, but it's by faith. But we go forward. We need discernment. We need to see through God's eyes. Dr. Andrew Murray, that great preacher of the past, said, beware of limiting God in your prayer by what you imagine you know what God can do. Expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Beware of limiting God in your prayer by what you imagine you know what God can do. Expect the unexpected. Trust obeys when we don't know when God has taken us. We don't know where, we don't know how, but trust says, okay, and we don't even know when. We don't even know when. It's sufficient to know that God holds tomorrow. God holds tomorrow. Because he holds tomorrow, I trust him. I trust him with my tomorrows, and I trust that today leads into tomorrow. Can we trust Jesus today? Can you trust Jesus for your healing? Some of you may be dealing with sickness and sorrow, or you need a miracle. He may use a miracle. He may use a doctor. Can you trust Jesus with your family's safety? Does he still protect people on the highways? You know, we saw a moose when we were driving up here yesterday. We went to Miramichi and back yesterday. And we saw a moose. And, you know, it was just a couple of years ago that our son Paul and his wife, and I guess it would be Gabby, would have been 3 years old at the time, in Northern Ontario, had a collision with a moose around 11 o'clock at night. They were driving a Volkswagen Tiguan and totaled the car, and they escaped injury-free. You know? Hallelujah. The moose didn't survive, you know? But but I'm so glad that they escaped injury-free. The patrolman, the highway patrolman, said it's unusual to see somebody where there's not injuries, especially somebody that's going along between 90 and 100 kilometers an hour when they hit them, you know. So it was, I just thank God for that. I thank God for that and his protection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does he still give insight when children are faced with wrong choices? Can we trust Jesus with our family's safety? Can we trust, does he still deliver from the slavery of addictions? He still delivers the alcoholic. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. You know? He still delivers the drug users. He still delivers from people from pornography. He still delivers. He is a deliverer. Praise the Lord. And he is a one who not just cleans up the sins of the past, but he delivers a person from the sins of the present. Praise the Lord, because he is a mighty God and a wonderful Savior. Nothing is too big or too small for Jesus. Does Jesus still comfort the lonely, the heartbroken, and the rejected? The Bible says he sticks closer than a brother. Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. He renews the minds of the sin-sick and the dysfunctional. Jesus still saves, and he still sets free. Praise his holy name. He is still a mighty God who does deliver, who does set people free, who does break the chains of sin, and we have reasons to trust him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just part of it, but with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will tell you which path to take. So not just part of your heart, but with all of yourself. Trust Jesus with all your relationships, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, with them all. Trust Jesus with them all and seek his counsel. Say, Lord, what do I do about this? Lord, how do I deal with this? They're asking me for money. I think they're going to use it for drugs. Lord, what do I do? How do I keep a door open without condoning what they're doing? Lord, how do I do that? We need the wisdom of the Lord. We need the grace of God, and we need to step out in love, but we need to do what God would have us do too. Sometimes it means being strong, and always means being strong. Sometimes it means being tough. Sometimes it means being pliable. You know, all I can say is this, that we can trust the Lord, and he will give direction. Trust God with your future. Trust God with all your possessions. We are stewards. We are stewards. Amen. We are stewards. We are not the owners. In conclusion this morning, the word trust. Trust. T-R-U-S-T. Total surrender to God. R is repentance of your sin and rebellion. We see U is understanding. Comes from God. It's unconditional that we seek his face and trust him unconditionally. And he gives us understanding as we grow in him. We see the S in trust is salvation is God's gift to you in Christ. And the last T, we could say, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Trust him. Take up your cross, Jesus said, and follow me. So trust him. Regardless of the circumstances, trust him with your present, with your yesterday, with your today, and with your future. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can trust him and place it in his hands. And anything that's bothering you, take it to the Lord in prayer. And if it keeps bothering you, turn around and say, devil, stop bothering me with this. Amen? Because when you give it to the Lord, he takes it. The devil likes to keep on tormenting you with it. So I tell you, you know, so that's a very simple solution, a very simple statement, but I believe there's a lot of truth in it. We want to close my second closing this morning thinking about the circus. In every circus, they usually like to have the trapeze, you know, the swingers and the whatever, the person who swings from the air with the greatest of ease. I mean, you know, the trapeze artist. He swings high above the ground doing stunts, flips and somersaults and all the other things that they do up there. And usually, there's always a catcher and a flyer who work as a team. The flyer is the one you see. The catcher is the one that's just kind of swinging back and forth. And before the person hits the ground, they reach out and catch them, you see. Well, in the process of life, living from day to day, the word tells us that we live by faith. Trust in the Lord. Well, we're the kind of the trapeze guy that's up there swinging around, and Jesus is the catcher. Hallelujah. And he has perfect timing. That's the key, is when they time that swing out to be in the right place at the right time. Jesus is a great catcher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He caught me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He caught you. Hallelujah. He caught you just at the right time. I don't know where you are today, but he invites you to trust him. He invites you to open your heart. He invites you to surrender your life. He invites you to say, God, I recognize it in my heart. I have sinned. In my heart, I am far from you. And I need to ask for your forgiveness. I need to ask you to be my Savior and Lord. And he says, come to me. He says, trust me with those things of your past. Come and repent and ask me for forgiveness, and I will give you that. Come and let me make you my child, and I will do that. Come and invite me to come into your heart and be your Savior and Lord, and I will come in, and I will do that. And so that's what he invites us to do. And our heart rises up and says, I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know if I can trust you. All of Scripture, the testimony of every life that has been transformed by the grace of God, is a testimony that we can trust Jesus, who has never failed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can trust Jesus, and you can trust the Lord this morning. We're going to ask the musicians to come. We trust him. King David was anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. History tells us he waited 10 years before he became king over Israel. 10 years he waited, and he trusted God. Abraham was promised a son. From the time he was promised a son until the time when Isaac was born was 25 years, they tell us. Wow, is right. He waited 25 years. Sarah was 90 years old when Isaac was born. Wow. Abraham was 100. Wow. You know what I mean? All I know is this. God's promises are true. We want the answer yesterday. We want it no later than tomorrow, 5 o'clock. But God says, trust me. Trust me, and I will not let you down. Testimony of Scripture, the promises of the Word, the testimony of every born-again person who is here this morning is that he is worthy of our trust. Praise God. They're going to lead us in a song. We're going to ask you to stand. Praise God. Hallelujah.
My hope is built on nothing more than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest phrase, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Jesus, Jesus.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
As they're singing and as the music is playing this morning, and I would ask you that today, you say, Pastor, in my heart, there's a tug, there's a pull that tells me that I need to trust God with my life. He has spoken to me in the past, and he's speaking to me again. And he's given me, if what you're telling me is true, he's given me, I believe, an opportunity to surrender my heart and my life to the Lord and invite him to come in. And if God is speaking into your heart and your spirit this morning in that way, I would invite you to step out from where you are and come on down and kneel at this altar. And I would invite you to pray and ask Jesus Christ to do a work in your life. Let this be a place of surrender. That's why I say, come and kneel. Come and surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can remember years ago that I did that same thing, and 99.9% of the people here who know Jesus Christ as their Savior at some point in time have done the exact same thing. So we're inviting you this morning to step out from where you are. Take that first step. As you take that first step, God will help you take the second one and bring you to this altar as we sing again, praise God. Come now.
When darkness seems to hide its face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within.
Maybe those here this morning, you say, Pastor, a lot of what's been said this morning, or maybe even wasn't me that preached, nothing that I preached this morning, but in your heart you knew that this is a place where you need to meet with God this morning, and you would like prayer, you would like us to pray with you today, then I'd invite you to come and just come right here, and even as the, maybe it's salvation, maybe it's for a physical need, maybe it's for another need in your family or in your own personal life. I would invite you to come as they sing. And we would love to pray with you and believe God for the miraculous and believe God that He would show Himself strong right where you are. Praise God. Praise God.